Good morning. Well, this morning I'm going to start a series of messages on Joseph. And if you take your Bibles this morning and turn to Genesis chapter 37. And I'm just going to read the first few verses here as we start, but I hope that this will encourage you. Joseph was a great man. And we're going to see that. He wasn't a perfect man, but he was quite a man. And today I want to begin the study on the life of Joseph. It's one quarter of the book of Genesis is dedicated to telling the story of Joseph. And that's the first book in the Bible. So there must be something special about this guy. Joseph was a loved son, but he was a hated brother. There's a phrase that is repeated over and over about Joseph in this book. I can only hope that it's true about my life and your life as well. And I hope my wife will be able to put this on my headstone someday. And here it is. And the Lord was with him. Six words. And the Lord was with him. I think all of us here really need that phrase to be real in our lives. When we go through the trials of this life, did you know that you can go through just about anything if you know that the Lord is with you? Amen? The Lord was with him, and there's sadness about that statement today. You know what it is? Not everyone can say that. Not everyone can say that. Some think when you get to heaven, God's going to weigh your good and your bad, and somehow you're going to come out okay. Jim was referring to that this morning about America. It used to be, you know, we felt, you know, 80-90%. Now it's things of, you know, it's not that, things are not as well as we think they are sometimes with our country. See, we don't really know how bad is, and we really don't know how good is. And because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. And you can never be good enough to enter a perfect heaven. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 says this, if our hearts condemn us not, we have confidence towards God. So listen to your heart this morning. God has put eternity in our hearts. You're in the right place this morning, and you're among people who care about your soul. A long time ago, some of you invited Jesus into your heart. And some of you just don't have that confidence that God is with you this morning. That rich relationship with Jesus Christ. We all need that rich relationship with him. Well, let me tell you about Joseph. Joseph was a man that could say it positionally, he could say it practically, and he could say it prophetically. The Lord is with me. I think we're going to enjoy this study, and you know why? Because Joseph will remind us of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that no other character in the Bible is described more like Jesus Christ than Joseph? I believe that. I was taught that in Bible college, and we'll look at that, but especially Joseph. But you know why? Because in all of the Old Testament, in all the people's lives, and we have a quarter of Genesis devoted to Joseph, no one had like Joseph. Not one sin was mentioned in this quarter of Genesis. Now, was Joseph a sinner? Yes, he was. I'm not saying but the Holy Spirit chose not to put his sin in the scriptures because Joseph was a man that reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, Pastor, where's that at? Well, I'll give you some examples. We're here this morning because we want to be like Jesus. We want to spend time with Jesus so we can live like Jesus. Amen? Joseph, he was scorned by his brothers. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was rejected by his brothers. He was stripped of his coat. He was left to die. So was Jesus. He was sold as a slave. He was taken from his homeland. And Jesus came to this dark earth, taken from his homeland, the glories of heaven. Joseph, he was falsely accused. So was Jesus. He was greatly beloved by his father. So was Jesus. He was betrayed by his brothers. He was sold for silver. So was Jesus. If you don't hear anything else today, hear this. Joseph is a reminder to each of us, especially young people. We need some young people, don't we? Are you praying about that? Are you praying about the new pastor? Keep praying. That no matter how difficult your circumstances and the pain in your life, you can still live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can trust him with your soul. And because God has a plan for Joseph, you will see that as we study his life, and let me tell you today, every one of you here this morning, God has a plan for your life. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what part of life you're in. God still has a plan. If I have 2 days left, there's a plan for those 2 days. Now, God has had to make some en route adjustments, you know, sort of like your GPS. You ever get there and it says it's correcting. Well, you made a wrong turn. Have you ever made a wrong turn in life? God is there to put us back on the plan. He has a plan for your family. He has a plan for your children. He has a plan for your grandchildren. I guess the question this morning is, are you following his plan? I want to give you three things this morning as we introduce this to you, the life of Joseph. And at the end, I'm going to give you three more important things, probably the most important things. I'll try to do that quickly. The first three give us characters of this story. Number one, first we're going to talk about Joseph's dysfunctional family. Now, I know that's a contemporary word, dysfunctional. Joseph probably didn't know it. But he learned to know that he had a dysfunctional family, even if he didn't know the word. Because they can come and say, listen, I'm not responsible for my behavior. The word dysfunctional. I came from a dysfunctional family. You know, we like to have some excuse for what we do wrong. And today, that's a great one. Well, I've used it. I came from a dysfunctional family. I had to overcome all that. I didn't want to say that when my dad was around, or I'd have to pick myself back up. Joseph may not have known the word, but Joseph came to know that he had a dysfunctional family. You see, Joseph, you may have a dysfunctional family, but I think he had you beat when you listen to the story. I mean, he had some problems in his family. Second, we're going to talk about Joseph's dreaming faith. Joseph was a man of faith, but Joseph was a dreamer. You got any dreamers in your family? I got some. You know, it's good to have a dream, especially when God gives you the dream. As a very little boy, Joseph began to dream, and God had a plan for his life. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 says that you can be filled with all the knowledge of God and his will. Did you know that? That's a promise God gave to give you with the knowledge of his will. God has a plan for your life today. You know, you could be right in the middle of God's plan. Joseph, from the time he was little, was right in the middle of God's plan. And Joseph was a dreamer. We are going to talk about his dysfunctional family and his dreaming faith. Well, number three, there's one more thing that we need to talk about. In chapter 37, we need to talk about what seemed to be a devastating future for him. as it seems to be, because as we move through this study, you're going to see how God uses what man means for evil, how God turns it around in Joseph's life. Do you know he can do that for you in your journey in life? On the front end, Joseph's life gets real bad, and it gets really bad. But this study will show us that regardless of your circumstances, you can live for the Lord Jesus. I'm going to ask you to please stand. We're going to read just these first five verses together, chapter 37. Please stand if you're able. In verse 1, it says, "Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And these are the generations of Jacob." This is the history of Jacob. And Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. In verse 2, "And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father." Verse 3, Now Israel, or Jacob, who became Israel, loved Joseph more than all his children. Wow, hold on. Did you know the Bible reports the truth, warts and all? This just told us that Jacob loved one Joseph more than anyone else. That shouldn't be. In God's people, it shouldn't be, but it was true. And that happens in families, and it's wrong to have a favorite. The rest of verse 3 says, "Because he was the son of his old age, also he made him a tunic of many colors." Verse 4, "But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably of him." Verse 5, "And Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more." Let's pray. Lord, bless your word today. Lord, we look to you. We look to you, Father, to teach us through your word. You put this story in here for a purpose. It was the very first book of the Bible. Help us, Lord, to glean from this life of Joseph what we need to learn so we can help ourselves, but so we can help our children and our grandchildren. Lord, speak to our hearts today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There are some good points about Joseph's family, and there are some bad points about this family. You know, the older I get, the more I learn, we all are broken people. And most of us have broken families. But you guys are looking good this morning. You know something, I know something about you, some of you. Some of you have a mess in your family. You know, I have a mess in my family, if I'll be truthful. Not everything is right. Not everything is perfect. Well, Joseph had a mess. And there were good things and there were bad things about this family. What you find in chapter 36 is Joseph's mom died when he was a little boy. She died giving birth to the little brother Benjamin. And it's tough to grow up without a mother or without a father. And when the other boys talked about their mom making them, you know, all this food for their birthdays and all that, Joseph couldn't enter that conversation. She was gone. When they talked about good food, but Joseph has his brothers. He has 11 of them. And they're a rough bunch. And they're immoral. And the oldest was the worst. His name was Reuben. When you read the Bible, it's important that we know the difference in what God reports and what God supports. God never supported Jacob having two wives, but Jacob has two wives. That was in the second verse, and it wasn't right. But that was his family, and one was his wife, and the other was his concubine. And Reuben had a physical relationship with his father's concubine. And Jacob did nothing about it. Didn't say a word. He didn't say a word about it until on his deathbed he finally said something. Joseph grew up in a wild atmosphere. How Jacob, his father, had some ups and downs too, but Joseph had blessed, had a blessing in his home. And you know what the blessing was, even with all the dysfunctional? The name of the Lord was often mentioned in Joseph's home. Do you know that's a great thing? If you can grow up where the name of the Lord is brought up almost daily. Even though the family's dysfunctional, you know, they're still looking for God. They're still hoping to be in his plan. But that's a good thing if it's in your family. And you're blessed if that's true. If your mother talks about Jesus to you, to your grandchildren. So Joseph has a dysfunctional family, and in the midst of that dysfunction, I want you to see Joseph is dependable. The Bible says here that Joseph brought a bad report to his father about his brothers. Now you might think that Joseph is a tattletale. I was a tattletale. My brother told me I was. I didn't know that, but I didn't know what a tattletale was. But he told me. But he wasn't a tattletale. He was a truth. Joseph was a truth teller. See, when Joseph saw the truth, he wanted the truth to come out. He was dependable. Joseph made a decision in life early on, no matter how his brothers were going to live, he was going to live for God. You know, it's a great day when a young person, a young adult, says, I don't care what mom and dad have done. I don't care what my brothers and sisters are doing. I'm going to live for Jesus. That's a great thing. My brothers and sisters may hate God, but I'm going to live for God. That was Joseph. That was his decision. He went and he saw his older brothers committing immoral acts, and he would go tell his dad, things aren't right with your sons. Now, did Jacob do anything about it? No, he didn't. Jacob was a passive man. He should have done something about it, but he didn't. Joseph was dependable. Jacob had partiality, and the Bible says in verse 3 that he loved his son Joseph more than he loved the others. There were reasons for that. It says he was the son of his old age. See, the truth is, the one Jacob really loved was Rachel, his first wife. And Joseph was born of Rachel. And when Rachel died, he transferred that love from Rachel to his son Joseph. And he was the son of his old age. Listen, it's commonly noticed here. Fact is that parents that get older and their children get older, the youngest child in that family, it's perceived, I said perceived, as getting most of the attention. You're first child, aren't you? You left. It's perceived as getting all the good things the others didn't get. That's happened in our family, right, Sharon? 12 years after our second one was born, we had a third. And boy, things changed. The queens now became, you know, they thought the queen had arrived. And they took care of them. They changed their diapers. They helped out. Anna was a problem. But they love her. But see, let me ask you something. How many of you here are first children? I mean, the last child, I'm sorry, the last child. Last child. Spoiled brats. As Jacob watched Joseph, he knew that God was with him. The Bible says in verse 3, he gave him a tunic of many colors, a robe. a coat of many colors. Scholars believe that this coat went down to the wrists and to the ankles. The word, we know that because the word, the Hebrew word there is pasim, which means wrist to ankles. So you see what this was. This was a royal robe. In fact, it had all these many colors in it. And what was expensive back there? Almost like gold back there was what? Dye. Especially certain colors. Even today, do you know, today there's some dye colors over in the Middle East that are still bought over in India and all. You know, they love all those wonderful colors. I'd love to go to India. But all those beautiful colors. And some dyes cost a fortune. So he has this long robe. The special robe is made. And God's hand was on. See, Jacob knew that God's hand was on Joseph. But here's the mistake he made. Churches make it. Families make it. You can't make your son or your daughter a ruler without them first being a servant. You can't push someone into spiritual leadership that hasn't paid their dues as a servant. And Jesus said in that parable, remember the parable? He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things." See the prerequisite there? First a faithful servant, then a ruler. Now when Jacob gave him that sleeved tunic, he didn't really think about the message that he was sending to the other brothers. Big mistake. But the message he was sending was this: my son doesn't have to work. You see, Joseph comes out with this royal robe on, and what are they wearing? A short sleeved tunic, and it's cut off at the knees. You know why? So they can get on their knees and work. It was saying that my son, he doesn't have to work. He wears the royal robe. Woo. My son's better than that. He doesn't have to work. So they didn't like the coat. His brothers didn't like the coat. They didn't like the character. They didn't like the guy named Joseph. So we see the partiality of Jacob. And then we see something else. We see the hostility of the brothers. Look at verse 4. It says, they hated him, and they couldn't speak to him on friendly terms. Their animosity and hostility was so deep-rooted, they couldn't say a kind word, not one kind word, to Joseph. And that's the house that Joseph grew up in. Now, to add insult to injury, Joseph was a dreamer. Our second point here is, Joseph, he had dreaming faith. Now, when you begin to read verses 4, 5, and 6, and he's telling of his dream, and the first thought you get is, what a smarty pants. I had a dream. That wasn't Joseph. He was trying to protect his daddy here, and he knows that his dad knows God has his hand on him. And I think his dad knows he's going to be a ruler. And he's going to be a ruler, but he didn't know how that was going to come about. I think he was trying to justify to his brothers why his dad gave him the robe. And he thought he could work this all out, that they hated him so much. So he said, well, listen, guys, I can tell you, I had a dream. And he thought this would make sense to them. When they heard about this dream, they would say, well, now we know why you had the robe. No, that's not the way it went. Well, we were all in the field. And Joe, and he's starting to tell them the dream. And they say, yeah, Joseph, and you weren't working. We were working. No, we were all in the field. And there were these sheaves and stalks and wheat. And they would stand them up vertical and north and south, and I had my sheaves and you had your sheaves, and guess what your sheaves were doing to my sheaves? This is a good one. What were they doing? Your sheaves were bowing down to my sheaves. Well, they loved that. Can you see their faces right now? Boy, they really understood now. Right, your she's bowed down to mine. And then he runs to Dad and he says, I had a dream. Yeah, what was it, son? The sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. And, oh, that's nice, son. And the brothers are going, Dad, you don't understand what you've done to this kid. You spoiled him rotten. He's hallucinating. He thinks the whole world is going to bow down to him. See, the 11 stars are the brothers. The mom and dad are the sun and the moon. The Bible says when Jacob heard this, verse 11, he just kept it in his mind. He didn't say anything. So that's Joseph's dreaming faith. You know, it's great to have kids that can dream. Don't kill the spirit in your kids if they're a dreamer. We had a dreamer, didn't we, Sharon? Kelly was a dreamer. People have dreams for different reasons. Let them dream God's dream. See, sometimes God gives them a dream for a reason, especially when they're God's children. And Joseph is a dreamer. So we see his dreaming faith and we see his dysfunctional family. And third here in verse 12, we start to see a devastating future. I mean, here's a dedicated young man, totally sold out to God. You would think he would have a real smooth sailing future. Well, it isn't. He runs into a storm. Verse 12. His brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. Where? Shechem. Their half-sister had been raped. Brutally raped in Shechem by a bunch of men. And you know the brothers, if you know the story, they went back and they took care of Shechem. There was hardly a man left when they got done. Now the brothers are in Shechem, and do you think that's enemy territory? You better believe it is. Now we have a passive father that knows his kids are in trouble, and he says, well, it's kind of like the father that knows his boy is, you know, has this lust problem when he, you know, today, and he knows he's going to have lust when he watches an R-rated movie, but his son goes, is going to the movie and tells Dad, I'm going to the movie. But, you know, the father didn't even ask what the movie's rated. He was a passive father. And Jacob sends his kids into the enemy territory, and he sent Joseph there too, and they go to Shechem. Verse 15, it says, a man found Joseph wandering in a field. See, that's the picture of a lot of people today. They're wandering in a field. They don't have God's plan. They're not seeking God's plan. The man says, what are you looking for? And Joseph is looking for his brothers, but he says, I'm looking for my brothers. And he tells him, well, I heard them say that they were going to Dothan. That group of guys, were, and it wasn't Alabama either. It was Dothan. And verse 18 says, now, when they saw him afar off, even before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. Can't you see it? Here's Daddy's little pet. Oh, boy. And look, he's got his ruler coat on. See, what started off as hostility has become murder in the hearts of his brothers. Do you know that if you let a little sin creep into your heart, it won't be long till you got a runaway train? Verse 22, Reuben says, let's not kill him. Reuben is thinking to himself, we'll just play around with him. And then later we'll rescue him and we'll take him home to Dad. And Reuben is the oldest, and he has a reason for that, because he's responsible. He knows Dad's going to hold him responsible, so he's got to try to work this thing out. And when Reuben is gone for a while, the others make a plot to sell him. And you were to sell him into slavery. And guess what? Here comes a caravan. You know, when God's got a plan, he's got a plan, and the caravan shows up. Hey, you guys need a slave? We got this boy over here for sale. And boy, he's only 17, and look at him. He's in great shape. He's fed well. I'm a well-fed kid. And they say, how much you want for him? 50 pieces of silver. He's great. And they look him all over, and they look at his teeth and his legs and his arms and his muscles, and he said, 50? How about 10? And they say, give us 20. We'll take it. So Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Joseph was sold for 20. So his brothers walk off with a couple silver pieces in their pouch. And they walked away with a guilty conscience in their soul. See, the Bible's so true. The soul that sins, it will surely die. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Here's a boy being sold. Verse 31. They make a scheme to kill this animal. Probably one of their smaller goats, a sheep, and put the blood on Joseph's tunic. And they go and they tell Dad, you sent Joseph out to us, but this is what we found. We just found his coat, and look, it's full of blood. There's some big animal, a bear or a lion must have got him, and there's nothing left of him. We couldn't find him anywhere. Does that sound familiar, that story? Because it's exactly what Jacob did to his dad, Isaac. He deceived his father. Remember the story? He and his mother got together and they killed this animal. And they used the furry part because, remember, Esau was furry. So they had to make, you know, had to make him, Jacob, furry. And he's deceived his father. Now the deceiver becomes the deceived. Jacob's sins are coming home to roost. You know, sin always has a way of coming home back around. The skeleton always gets out of the closet. Guess what? Some of you dads and moms are watching your children and your grandchildren, and you're seeing some of the things that happened in your family when you were growing up. It's your childhood. And you realize that the sin pattern in your family, God wants to break that. Did you know that? I have a pattern in my family. Not a good one. But God wanted to break that, and I think he has. See, today is a good day to start breaking some sin problems in your family. A passive father, without the help of the Holy Spirit, will never comfort their own kids about their sin. Joseph is in the hands of strangers, and he's chained to a caravan. Wonder if he will ever see home again. And the brothers go back and they tell Dad, your boy is dead. And the Bible closes out chapter 37 saying in verse 35, all his sons and his daughters arose and comforted him, Jacob, but he refused to be comforted. He said, I will go down into the grave to my son in mourning. And he wept for him. That's how we begin to know Joseph, the ruler. A ruler chained to a caravan, a dysfunctional family in pain. And quickly, I'm going to give you these three truths I told you I'd give you, and we're going to go home. But these three things, and I think they're important. Truth number one, today's message is a lesson about perfect families. We hear a lot about dysfunctional families today. Do you know that God especially is changing people? God knows how to change families. Did you know that? No matter how dysfunctional your family is or was. You know that so many people today explain their problems by what happened to them when they grew up. Does that mean that everyone that grows up poor has a right to steal? No. Does that mean that everyone that comes from a blended family can say, my dad wasn't there and I have a right to be angry? No. Does that mean that because you were sexually abused as a child, or beaten as a child, you can grow up to be immoral? No. See, God put Joseph right in the front of the Bible to show us, to show you, that regardless of your family's baggage, you can still walk close to Him. Joseph walked close to God. And there are no perfect families. That's what I'm telling you about perfect families. There aren't any. Joseph lived in a family dominated by lying and deceit and immorality and manipulation. He could have gone to a counselor and said, I got this repressed anger. I have this lingering bitterness. I have this persistent anxiety in my life. And I have fear of rejection. He could have been deceitful and immoral like his brothers and his dad. And Joseph said, I'm not going the way of my family. I'm going God's way. I'm going to follow my faith. I'm going the way of truth, God's truth. Let me tell you, it will be a great day when you become responsible for your own behavior. Have you heard that? You've been in a conversation where all these things I'm just talking about, now we know all these things. Persistent anger, you know, lingering bitterness. This is a lesson about perfect families. And it says, none of us have one. That's the lesson. Number two is a lesson about passive fathers. Jacob was a passive father. He knew about the jealousy of the brothers and he didn't do anything about it. Some of you know about the immorality of a daughter or a son. And you can't control their behavior. But you can confront it. You know how I tell you every week that God takes me to, and I study this, He takes me to school. And the Holy Spirit reminded me this week when I was a passive father. It wasn't pleasant. It didn't honor God. Little granddad, dad, don't be passive. We got to love our kids enough to confront them. You know, I counseled for many years down in Florida and all at the church I was at before I became a pastor, and I was on their counseling team thing, and I learned you got to confront the issues. We could go for weeks and weeks and talk about all kind of things in the counseling, but until we confronted the issues and made a plan to get rid of the problem, nothing happened. I learned that as a young counselor. If you, Dad, never read your Bible, you will never confront your children or your grandchildren when they don't read theirs. Last truth. It's a lesson about painful farewells. This may be sensitive to some of you. Painful farewells with a mom, a dad, a sister, a son, a daughter. The devil is the father of all lies. Is that true? The brothers come to Jacob and say, your son is dead. Is that true? No, it was a lie. You will never see him again. Was that true? No. Because Joseph was going to be made a prince of the throne and going on the throne of Egypt, second in command to the Pharaoh. Here's a dad that refuses to be comforted because of these facts. Facts that say, my son is dead. But they're all lies. What does God's facts say? He says, those of our loved ones that are saved are alive today and they're safe with God. Did you know that? The fact is, you will see them again. That's the truth. They will be made prince and princes before the throne of God. Royal blood. That's what the Bible says. You don't have to go to your grave mourning your son or your mom or your dad or your granddaughter or your daughter. And that's the truth. Amen.